It's great to have you with us from wherever you're tuning in from. For more information about Elevate Church or to contact us, head to our website elevatechurch.me and take us wherever you go by downloading our Elevate Church AU app. We hope this message inspires and helps you to take your next steps in your journey.
Hey, Elevate Church. Just wondering, what did you lean out from during COVID? If you're anything like me, it was things like hospitality in your own home, obviously. We didn't eat out, we didn't go to events, we couldn't even gather at church. What have you lost that you want to get back? I certainly learned how much I need my church family, and I bet you did too, because we can't do this life well on our own. I assume that you are part of a church for a reason. You want to know God, to experience Him, otherwise you'd be out shopping. Are you aware that the way we grow in our knowledge and experience of God is by doing life together? I know the goodness of God because it comes to me through my Christian brothers and sisters. I've been hanging around Christian community for a long time, and I have seen thousands of people interact in that community. And here's what I know to be true. People who remain connected with their brothers and sisters in the local church almost always grow in their self-understanding and mature in their ability to relate in healthy ways to God and their fellow human beings. This is especially the case of the brave, stubborn ones who stick it out through messy conflicts and differences of opinion. People who stick also grow. I'm not saying that there are never good reasons to leave a church community. Sometimes it is the healthiest thing to do, but it should be hard, like pulling up a tree by its roots. And if you have to do that, then you shouldn't wander from place to place while your roots dry up. You need to get planted again as soon as possible. I've spoken to new folk at my church who break down in tears as they talk about their last church. Obviously, there is pain there, but it should be painful to leave a church family, and it should be a matter of priority to put your roots down quickly in a new one. Our togetherness is a big deal to Jesus. Jesus was speaking to his disciples on the night he was arrested. It's recorded in the Gospels. And just after he'd washed their feet, which was his lesson in servanthood to them, he gave them the most important lessons that he wanted to leave them with. And he said this in John chapter 13. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, I was reading that this week and I thought, why is this new? I mean, he'd already been asked in other places in the Gospels what were the most important commandments. And he said, love God. Love your neighbour. But this was new. It was like he was saying to them, those of you who follow me, I want you to get over yourselves, get over your petty squabbles and differences, and love each other in a supernatural way that can only come from me. That will look like staying together in unity despite our differences, forgiving each other with grace. And this sign of Christ followers loving each other will be so remarkable that people will stop and take notice. They'll be asking, what is happening here? Can we find this kind of self-sacrificing love anywhere else in society? I've been part of lots of groups in my time. Teaching staff at schools, women's craft groups, kids' sporting clubs, political interest groups. But there is nothing as powerful as the family of God when it is healthy. Why is the family of God so powerful and so countercultural? Because we have learnt from our Lord to give ourselves away in self-sacrificing love. Now, let me illustrate this with a story. Many of you have probably seen the movie Titanic. It's a classic, and it's a beautiful story of Jack and Rose. Now, Rose came from a wealthy family, and her family had fallen on hard economic times, and they were going down the gurgler. So Rose's mother arranges a marriage for her with a wealthy guy who they felt could save their family from economic destruction. But of course, Rose doesn't like him. And she falls for Jack, who's a penniless dreamer who is charming and kind and very good looking. So, does Rose choose Jack to fulfill her romantic dreams? Or does Rose choose the rich guy and save her family? Well, we swim in the soup of Western worldviews, and the Western ideal is all about individual rights. Of course she should follow her dreams. He is the one that she chooses, so it shouldn't matter what anybody says. Jack is the one for her because he makes her feel good. Now, within the Eastern part of the world, they have a different mindset about such things, and the Eastern view is really the foundation of our Christian ethics. The Eastern ideal is that the needs of the community or the family are of the highest importance. So, of course, Rose would not marry Jack. That would be the most selfish thing she could do. She had to consider the needs of her family before her own. She would sacrifice herself and marry the man that could save her family. That's what loving people do. And that's the sort of community that God calls us into when we follow him. We talk a lot about Jesus being our personal saviour, and of course that is true. No one can choose Jesus for us. But our followership of Christ is not a private, personal thing. We are saved into God's family, and we have responsibilities. What we find in the Bible is a God who is as concerned with his family, that's me in relationship with my brothers and sisters, as he is for me in relationship to him. We have a cruciform faith. It's the horizontal. It's how we relate to one another. And it's the vertical, how we relate to him. We can't have one without the other. Why do you come to church? Honestly, is it habit? Is it because it helps you to be a better person? Do you come because you learn stuff? Although really you can learn all you want online these days. Do you leave feeling lighter? Does singing together lift your spirits? Now, these are all good reasons. But I think Jesus would have us lean into community in a way that is deeper than our individual needs. He would have us come because of what we bring to others. I show up because that's what family does. They gather, they celebrate together, they cry and mourn with each other, they carry each other's burdens. It's interesting that in the New Testament, the most common metaphor that's used for the church is family. And in the Eastern context that Jesus lived in, family bonds were incredibly strong. Now, with that as a background, let me share some of what I think are the most disturbing stories about Jesus in the New Testament, stories that I struggled to get my head around when I was looking at them. Here's one. When Jesus saw that a curious crowd was growing by the minute, he told his disciples to get him out of there to the other side of the lake. As they left, a religious scholar asked if he could go along. "I'll go with you wherever," he said. Jesus was curt with him. "Are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best inns, you know." And another follower said, "Master, excuse me for a couple of days, please. I have my father's funeral to take care of." Jesus refused. First things first, your business is life, not death. Follow me. Pursue life. From Matthew 8. Then another time he said this, "Don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut, make a sharp knife cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Cut through these cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. If you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me." And that came from Matthew 10. Now, according to these passages, following Jesus seems to have the potential to seriously compromise your relationship with your family. And he demonstrated this with his own family. Listen to this story. Just then his mothers and brothers showed up. This is when Jesus was preaching to a crowd. Standing outside, they relayed a message that they wanted a word with him. He was surrounded by a crowd when he was given the message. "Your mother and brothers and sisters are outside looking for you." And Jesus responded, "Who do you think are my mothers and brothers?" Looking around, taking in everyone seated around him, he said, "Right here, right in front of you, my mother and my brothers. Obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys God's will, they're my brother and sister and mother." That's from Mark 3. Whoa. These words would have been utterly scandalous. They still are today. As the eldest son of his family, he had the responsibility to his mother and siblings, and he seems to be refusing to fulfill that crucial role, and he does it in public. Was Jesus anti-family? It actually seems to contradict other places in the Bible where Jesus exhorts us to obey the commandments, to honour our father and mother. And his last words on the cross, as he was dying, they were tender words to his disciple John to look after his grieving mother. That was the last thing that he, one of the last things he said before he died. "John, take care of my mum." What's going on? We really can't explain away or domesticate these words of Jesus. There is something serious, something crucial to the heart of God and his plan to rescue this world going on here. Now, here's my thoughts on these difficult verses. I want you to think about your family. How important they are in your life. How precious. How you would sacrifice for them, give anything for them. Imagine what a tragedy it would be for you if your family fell apart. Now, I know some of you have already been through this, so you know what I'm talking about. Jesus was saying, it is even more important for you to love and cherish and sacrifice for the family of God, to protect and support and lean into his family, to protect its unity. Wow, that's a challenge. Why would I ever pour as much of myself into the church family as I do into my own precious family? That's just crazy. And then I had a light bulb moment. Why would I do that? Because I would never want my children and grandchildren to grow up in a world without the visible presence of the kingdom of God, without followers of Christ reflecting his love and goodness and justice throughout their communities. Can you imagine our world if the very fragrance of Jesus was removed from it? Can you imagine yourself if the fragrance of Jesus was not growing in you? Jesus was saying, I know that you are part of an earthly family, and that is a good thing. But I am establishing a new family. And the success of this new family is so important that I will give my life for it. And the togetherness of this family is so important that it must take first priority in our lives. This family is formed to shine the light of God's love into a dark world, and it must come first. Your natural family is important, and God willing, they will be part of God's family with you. But if not, they are your mission field. And we strive to keep the church strong and unified for their sake. Jesus was raising the bar of our commitment to the family of God, his church. He is so much more than a personal savior. He calls us into family. You know, the early church didn't stand a chance of surviving on paper. It was just a motley group of nobodies from a backwater province of the Roman Empire worshipping a rabbi who had been crucified by the Romans. But within 300 years, the Christian faith had spread so far and so deeply that it took over the Roman Empire. Why? The eyewitness testimony of people who had witnessed the resurrected Christ that led to the formation of a family of people who loved each other so passionately that nothing could break them down, even the threat of death. And people were in awe of them. What power inhabits these people that they can sacrifice for each other and love each other so deeply? A wealthy Roman would share communion with a slave. A temple prostitute would pray with a former Pharisee. A black Gentile trader would embrace a Turkish merchant. Radical, inclusive families were planted all over the ancient world, and that continues up to this day. I know this applies to your church too. Maybe a Liberal voter prays with a Greens voter. Maybe a 70-year-old businessman shares communion with a punk teenager. Maybe a conservative Christian embraces a more progressive thinking Christian. Maybe even Dockers and Eagles fans can love each other. Sorry if that's going too far. I'm naive enough to believe that we can push back against the social trend amongst Christians that seems to say that leaning into church family is an optional extra in the Christian life. It is not. It is the very soil that nourishes our faith and grows us into people of kingdom significance. It is the soil in which everything that is good and beautiful grows. We must gather weekly. This is the essential spiritual rhythm given to us by God. We are here today because of the faithfulness of generation after generation who got this. So how does family behave? We show up. We bring our tea towels. And what I mean by that is that we come ready to serve in whatever way we can. Thirdly, we show up. Fourthly, we bring our resources. What are you sacrificing financially to see this planting of the kingdom of God in Perth flourish? Fifthly, we show up. Jesus sits at the head of our table with joy as he watches us, his children, behave like our Father. He feeds us and he sends us out to do his work. And then he draws us back again, week after week after week, until we join him forever in his eternal home. This family, this Elevate family, this Australian church family can change our country if we turn up and serve and give and lean in to Jesus together.
We really hope you got a lot out of this message. If you live in the Perth area, we'd love for you to join one of our live experiences. For times and directions, as well as information, head to our website, elevatechurch.me. For those of you beyond the Perth area, we'd love for you to connect with our online experience, which premieres every Sunday via YouTube and Facebook Live, and on demand immediately after. And to partner with us to reach more people by giving financially, head to our website, elevatechurch.me, and also download our Elevate Church AU app.